you're making systems much more aware of the user and what they're trying to do. So essentially, the devices become much more personalized to us and our needs.
What could it mean when computers understand us? This is Future Lab, the online radio show of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. It can be quite a learning curve to try to understand how to use your devices, but researchers are using context-aware sensors in smartphones to understand what you want. We're starting to experience those nascent steps of expecting our smartphone to know a little bit about us, who we talk to, where we are, what our plans are for the week, and whatever personal information that we choose to share with it. Now, researchers are developing ways to push the IQ of smartphones so they're not just more efficient, but more intuitive. Deirdre Kennedy reports.
Imagine having a smartphone that could act like a personal butler. It could recommend a restaurant based not just on the type of food you like, but on the mood you're in and whom you plan to dine with. It could decide whether to put a call through to you, depending on your circumstances. It could even let you know if you're getting stressed out and what might be causing it. Researchers are already teaching smartphones to do all that by gathering information about users through a growing number of built-in sensors.
Things that we're already used to or consider sensors, for example, GPS, which gives us location. There's always, you know, you'll find an accelerometer that enables us to say things about movement and what people are doing. A gyroscope, which will give us indication of the orientation of the phone in sort of XYZ coordinates. Digital compass, which gives direction, and the list goes on, you know. But there's also sensors that we might not consider sensors today because they've been around forever. For example, the microphone is a very, very powerful sensor, as is the camera.
That's Andrew Campbell, a computer professor who leads the mobile sensing group at Dartmouth College. He and his colleagues have built a number of applications that do what's called high-level activity inference. One application called SoundSense uses the phone's built-in microphone to listen to the user's ambient environment, but not in the way that humans would eavesdrop on a conversation to listen for important words and sentences.
We took the raw audio signals, and from the raw audio signals, we extracted a bunch of these features, but these features are to do with, you know, they're basically representations of what the audio is on some level, both temporally and spatially. And then from these features, we would try to classify an activity or event. I'm in a certain restaurant, or you know, in an ATM machine, or you know, walking, or in a restaurant. And we wanted to push it to see how far it could, for example, you know, identify not only what the person's doing, but the environment the person's in. We could say a person's in a particular restaurant, listening to music, in conversation with somebody.
Of course, all of that relies on the phone being out in the open and not buried in a coat pocket or inside a purse. An early version of the application called SenseMe allows users to automatically update their status on Facebook and other social media platforms. But even if you're not a person who wants the world to know that you're brushing your teeth, having your phone understand your context could help facilitate communication, says Lama Nachman, senior researcher at Intel Labs in Santa Clara, California.
One of the things that we have a problem with today is, because of separation, is understanding what context the people that are, you know, that we're trying to reach are in, right? So I, you know, call my husband, he ends up in a meeting, he doesn't know if this is important or not, he steps out and he calls me. And then, he picks up the call. And usually the first question that he would ask, you know, or I would ask is, what are you doing? And he would tell me, oh, I'm in a meeting and I stepped out just to talk to you, right? So if you can imagine, if I could actually, when I picked up my phone and I went to actually dial my husband, if I could get a sense of what it is that he's doing and I know that he's in a meeting, that enables me, just that part of the awareness, it enables me to figure out how to better, you know, reach him, whether this is important or not, whether I should use a different way of communicating, etc., right? So this is just a basic example where really, if you just understood people's activities and made other people aware of it, right, then, you know, that facilitates better communication.
The driving concept behind these apps is to develop artificial intelligence, actually teaching computers to add to and build upon data. The phone can ask the user to identify certain sound patterns or images so that it can build a reference library of the features in the user's world. So imagine the user is at home, but riding a stationary bike. The phone could discern that the rider was indoors instead of out climbing a mountain and screen calls accordingly. Simultaneously, it could track how long the user was on the bike and feed that information to an exercise app. Nachman says being able to track one's own activities, like commuting, watching TV, or chatting with colleagues, might help people further optimize the way they use their time, in the same way that financial software helps us manage our money.
We go and we look at statements and figure out how we spend our money. I mean, you would argue that people do know how they spend every transaction. But if you think about time, it has a very similar notion, right? I mean, we don't necessarily understand that those specific decisions that we make about how we spend time here and there ends up really affecting the longer term picture, because we're not very good at aggregating data over a long period of time, whereas computers are very good at doing that.
And computers are apparently much better at being truthful when it comes to keeping a log of someone's exercise or eating habits. Nachman's group developed a health application that used motion sensors to track the activities of 16 pre-diabetic patients.
They would go to their doctor, talk to them about how active they've been, and then we started measuring how active they were. And the problem is, what we realized is that people have a very different notion of how active they are, and they tend to confuse the notion of busyness with the notion of physical activity. And in fact, if you think about it, it's actually completely the opposite, because usually when people are very busy, they tend to do less physical activity.
With that knowledge, the application was able to give users a gentle nudge, like, why don't you take the stairs, or you have time between meetings, let's take a 5-minute walk. Researchers found that enhancing users' awareness and tracking their results gave them a much better incentive to make positive choices. Some researchers believe that sensing technologies could even be a useful tool for diagnosing and treating emotional conditions. Rosalind Picard, professor of media arts and sciences at MIT, is a leading figure in the field of affective computing.
Affective computing is computing that relates to, arises from, or deliberately influences emotion. And it's about things like giving computers the ability to see if you're frustrated, if you're pleased, if you're displeased, if you're interested or bored, and respond to you in a way that's much more intelligent and really much more satisfying, a much better experience.
Emotional information is revealed in almost everything we do. The way we walk, our tone of voice, our minute facial expressions. Picard says people will often report that they're feeling fine, while their posture or face indicates they're actually depressed. She's hoping that sensing tools will help people be more aware of their stressors and become more introspective.
A lot of people are alexithymic. They don't really know what their feelings are, or they kind of think they know, but they're not really sure. And then suddenly when you see the data objective, you know, outside your body, you could say, yeah, you know, I was so busy that I didn't realize that that was my maximum stress of the day. And if you see that as a regular pattern in your life, you might choose to make some changes in your life when you see that data.
Picard's group has been looking at ways to capture data through sensors that won't be too intrusive in users' lives. So, for example, touch sensors could gauge whether you're tense or alert by the way you handle the phone or the moisture in your fingers. An earbud sensor could measure heart rate or temperature, or the camera could track your facial expressions while you're on a call. But it's not all about the individual. A growing number of sensing apps let users share data on issues like the environment, traffic patterns, or community health. Of course, all of these background sensing technologies raise the thorny question of privacy.
So this issue of privacy, I think, is Achilles' heel when you're looking to try to advance science. And these sensors are a really exciting opportunity, extraordinary opportunity, I think, in this area of mobile systems. And there are open problems. There has to be good solutions on how we preserve people's privacy. We allow them to own their data. At the same time, it's a double-edged sword because we want to innovate at the same time.
So far, commercially developed applications require full user cooperation. Wiretapping is illegal in the U.S., so cell phones can't automatically turn themselves on and start recording. And you can always shut the phone off or put it away. But Andrew Campbell says users need to be aware of how much information they give to any technology they interact with, And developers need to ensure that individuals have the ability to maintain control over their personal data. For Future Lab, I'm Deirdre Kennedy.
That's our show for today. Future Lab is the online radio show of Intel Labs. If you'd like to see some photos of today's program, go to Flickr and put in the search terms Future Lab and Context Aware. You can find more episodes of Future Lab on iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research.